Good morning. I'm Eric Isaac, and I'm excited to be able to preach God's Word and share God's Word with you today. You know, I was scheduled to preach several weeks back, but it was delayed a couple of times for various reasons. You may, if you've been around a while, heard the saying, "We'll serve no wine before it's time." Well, I believe that God wasn't going to allow me to preach this message before it was ready. When Scott first asked a group of us to preach one of the summer movie series lessons several months ago, I'll be honest, I was not one of the first brothers to respond. You see, when Scott says, "Can you preach?" what I hear is, "Can you prepare a term paper?" So I think about the hours of work that I have to do in order to prepare my heart and mind so that God can use me to preach His Word. However, if my words somehow become the words that God wants me to speak, it makes it all worth it. Let's go to God in prayer. Great Father, I pray that as we hear Your Word, that You use me to convey the words that You want me to speak, that we can be encouraged, that we can be convicted, that our lives could change as we hear Your words. Thank You so much for Your blessings. Thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Independence Day, Resurgence. So we got the visual up there. Amen. So almost 2 months ago, we celebrated Independence Day. Now, we celebrate that day because that is the day when leaders of the 13 colonies from what would become the United States of America declared independence from the King of England. Now, I got to check in with the teens because teens are about to go back to school, or some of them are already back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some excitement there. Now, do you know what the original 13 colonies are? So get prepared, because this is the kind of thing that you need to know for history, all right? Now, I want to get back to talking about this independence thing. Because men from the 13 colonies did not like the king's ways, plans, and visions for them. They decided that they would start their own country and establish and follow their own way. So we recognize and celebrate the spirit of independence on Independence Day as a day in which our nation began. And we celebrate by observing or sometimes creating fireworks displays. We celebrate with food, music, family, and friends. And we have a good time. You know, at the last Independence Day celebration I attended, folks were singing and dancing in the rain. Isn't that right, Damaris and Ray? And we celebrate almost on autopilot. And most of the time, we don't think very deeply about the meaning of our nation's independence from the king. However, when it comes to independence, it is somehow ingrained in our nature. We are drawn to this idea of being independent, not only about national independence, but even more so about personal independence. Now, if you haven't seen the movie Independence Day Resurgence and you plan on seeing it, there is actually very little risk that I may spoil the outcome for you. So I asked a few people about the movie and no one said, "You've got to go see it." So I didn't. But I did see the trailer. Now, the overall plot of the movie is that the aliens are coming back. We thought we had the problem. Yeah, they're coming back. We thought we had the problem of the alien invasion resolved, and everything was looking pretty good. Everyone has started feeling that we had gotten to the state of utopia that all yearned for. And we had gotten there with the aid of technology that the aliens from 20 years ago had left behind. Have you ever had a moment where things seem to be lining up in your life just like you wanted? I know I have. I remember after graduating from college, feeling that nothing could stop me now. I felt that I had everything I needed to attain the success I desired. Yet it was not long after that that feelings of frustration, emptiness, insecurity, and loneliness started to settle in. The success of the world wasn't enough. I needed something more. We go through cycles. At times we feel like that life is going pretty good. During these times, we can get hoodwinked into believing that we can do life on our own. We can assert our independence. Maybe you came to believe that you could do life on your own when you completed your education or got the job or position that you always desired. Or maybe it was when you were able to buy your dream home. Or maybe you were able to move out of your parents' home into your very first apartment and independence started to feel really good to you. Or maybe you felt like you arrived when you were in a dating relationship. Or maybe it was on your wedding day, the day that you thought you had arrived. Then just when we start to settle into our very own personal utopia, it happens. They're coming back. That is the challenges start to come back. Sin and its consequences seep back into our lives. The sin of unresolved anger, our fear, our envy grows, and as a result, maybe our relationships become challenging, or they may even come to an end. Maybe we thought we had control over our tongue, and then we get angry, and we let loose, and we hurt someone close to us, and it's hard to get back to the way things used to be. Or maybe we lose control over our finances. Instead of financial peace, we have financial chaos. We may experience challenges with our health, or someone close to us is experiencing challenges in their health. Or maybe we go through a hard time in our marriage, or our friends or family member is going through marital challenges. And it's just like in the movie. It is like the aliens that we thought we had defeated come back with reinforcements. Sin and its consequences come back in full force. What are we going to do now? The tools that worked before to solve our issues may no longer be effective. We need something bigger, more powerful to defeat the enemy. For us as disciples, we should have no doubt that the bigger, more powerful thing that we need to defeat the enemy is Jesus Christ and God's Holy Spirit. We know that the battle we fight is a spiritual battle. It just shows up in the physical realm. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We need to know this promise from God with certainty to get us through those challenging times. We need to have this understanding embedded in our minds and hearts. Through God and Jesus Christ, we have everything we need to live a godly life. And through God's promises, we get to participate in the divine nature by walking with God and escaping the impact of the world's corruption and our sinful nature and its consequences. Do you know God? I mean, not just knowing about God, but do you know him? Are you growing in your knowledge of God? Do you know his promises? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 16. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation, the one, Jesus Christ. Now they be dismayed. You know, of course, that foundation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the NIV says that the one who relies on it will never be stricken with fear, with panic. We have great assurance through God's word and his promises that when we truly trust in Jesus Christ, we will never be stricken with panic, not knowing where to turn. What a secure foundation we have in Jesus Christ, even as we endure challenges and difficulties in our life. And all of us have gone through and will go through many challenges and difficulties in this life. Is your life built upon the secure foundation of Jesus Christ? Do you face whatever challenges and difficulties you have through consistent perseverance and reliance on Jesus Christ? When we rely on Jesus and God's Holy Spirit in this way, it shows up in every area of our life. However, when our trust in Christ isn't where it needs to be, Isaiah 28, verse 20, speaks more to our situation. The bed is too short to stretch out on, the blanket too narrow to wrap around you. Have you ever struggled with a blanket that just was not big enough to keep all of you warm? You know, you pull it up to your neck, and then your feet get cold. And then you pull it down by your feet, and your arms get cold. Or maybe if you're married, your spouse is a blanket hog. Now, I know right now some of you are looking at each other, accusing each other of being that blanket hog. But stay with me, because there's a point coming. You know, it can be a pretty frustrating experience when your blanket isn't big enough to keep you warm. Spiritually, that is the situation that many of us find ourselves. We feel frustrated with the struggles and challenges in our life, and we ask the question, where is God? However, the real issue is not about God and Jesus Christ and their capability and faithfulness. The real issue is that our level of faith doesn't do the job that we need it to do. And the reason it isn't covering us is because we're focusing on religion and missing the relationship. A couple of weeks ago, our brother Frank Davis spoke to us and encouraged us to focus on relationship with God and relationship with God's people rather than religion. You know, if we miss the importance of relationship, we end up operating independently of God and independently from God's people. Point number one, the sin of independence. The sin of independence. Now, independence is about being able to do your own thing and not having anyone tell you what to do. Now, I don't think I am alone in wanting to do things my way. Most of us, especially men, don't want anyone telling us what to do. Now, most of us have smartphones that give us directions, correct? If you have a smartphone, I want you to pull it out for a second, hold it up, just to see. All right. You know, I don't think there's probably a person over 5 years old here that doesn't have a smartphone. You know, now the technology behind our phones that tells us where we are and where to go is a network of 30 satellites called Global Positioning System Satellites, or GPS. Now, if you had to make a guess, who do you think invented this technology? Let's take a brief survey. All right. So how many say women? Raise your hand. All right. How many say men? Raise your hand. Now, how many say women? Because men never want to stop and ask for directions. The wise in the audience know what I'm talking about. Now, the real answer is that the invention of GPS is credited to three men who worked for the Applied Physics Lab supporting the Department of Defense in Laurel, Maryland. Now, I'm telling you this so you don't go and look it up on your smartphone and end up getting distracted. So let's move on. So Isaiah 53, verse 6. Let's look at Isaiah 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sheep are animals that need lots of help just to make it every day. And just in case we are under any grand delusion about ourselves, God draws comparison between us and sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Now, my wife showed me a video yesterday. I want you to take a look. If we can go back to the video and we can play this.
Incredible.
It's in Spanish, so most of you won't be able to understand it. But it just says, poor baby. So there's a sheep that's stuck.
Anda, mírala. Así nace una oveja. El milagro de la vida.
Eso se lo pones. Te lo juro que la gente joven no lo sabe.
Así nace una oveja. Una oveja de tierra.
No es nuestra, es la oveja.
¿No es?
And we're back. Thank you, thank you. So this man had to pull the sheep out of the hole by his hind legs to essentially save its life. You know, as people, we were created to be dependent and connected to God. However, in life, we choose to separate ourselves from Him and try out living life independently from God. Some of us try living independently from God for a very long time. And many of the challenges we face are there simply because we continue to resist letting God tell us what to do. You know, Satan's big lie is that we can live independently from God. And if he cannot get us to believe that one, he wants us to believe that we can take little pieces of God, like in baby steps. It's a big lie. You know, in the book, How People Grow, by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, it says the following about God's intention for us relationally. God's role was to be the source or provider. Our role was to depend on the source. God originated life, and we were given life. Therefore, we depended on God for life and all that we needed. God's role was to provide. Our role was to receive. God gave breath, we took it in. God gave the garden, we lived in it and ate from it. God gave us relationship, we received intimacy and relatedness. Our role was designed to be a dependent one. He provides, we depend and trust. We are limited creatures, not the creator. And therefore, we are not self-sustaining as God is. Thus, we are limited in our ability to live alone, apart from God. When we choose independence from God, we get the consequences of that choice. Although we may try independence from God for a time, if we don't change course eventually, the consequences of that decision overwhelm us and take us out. Amen. Sometimes it's the challenges that we face in life that send us the wake-up call that we have to do something different. You know, there are at least two ways to learn things in life, or two major ways. First, we can choose to learn from others' experiences. Or secondly, we can choose to learn from our own experiences. You know, we can choose to learn from the Bible, the Word of God, which in many ways allows us to learn from the experiences of other people. And when we're studying the Bible, we get to learn with our friends, how to live this life that God has called us to. We can choose to avoid the mistakes that others made and avoid the consequences that they received. That seems like a pretty good deal to me. We can also choose to follow and imitate men and women who chose and choose faithful paths so that we also can receive God's blessings. We reap the blessings of following God's ways when we submit to God's ways and put them into practice. Look at Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. You guys with me here? All right. Isaiah 66, verse 2. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Is that what God says about you? Do you live a life that God esteems? A life that is always learning and seeking to put his ways into practice in your life. Now, we make the choice on whether to be humble and contrite in spirit. None of us take this on or there naturally. Humility and contriteness of spirit means that we treat God as if he means what he says, simply because he does, and we respond accordingly. The second way to learn is the harder way, and the outcomes are not always so good. And that is to learn from our own experiences. You know, if you choose this path too much, it will wear you out. You know, Noah lived 950 years, and then he died. And I'm pretty sure he was still learning throughout his life. Basically, we are on an accelerated schedule in this life. We don't live anywhere close to that long. even if we could possibly learn all we need to know independently from God, we simply run out of time. You know, with the path of independence, life doesn't get better as we get older. It gets harder and more difficult. Wisdom only comes with age if we stay tightly connected to God. In Job 28, verse 23, the Bible says that God understands the way to wisdom, and he knows its place. If we go about life trying to find happiness and wisdom independently of God, Job 28, verse 21 tells us that it is hidden from us. We are on a search that cannot end successfully. Independence from God is simply a bad choice. God has a better way, and that is to be connected to him through an obedient relationship to Jesus Christ every day. So I celebrated my 55th birthday a few weeks back, and I praise God for his blessings. Amen. Now, 55 comes with some benefits that I'm looking forward to. You know, several years ago, our brother Winston Phillip was looking forward to turning 50. He was excited about turning 50, mostly because he would get his AARP card, and he expected that he would get the benefit of some great discounts. However, the truth is, as Winston found out, that while you get your AARP card at 50, the discounts don't start until you are 55. So, Winston, I know you have to wait a few more years, but when you get to the age of 55, we will go out with our wives and use our AARP cards together. Let's move on. The second way this sin of independence shows up is in being disconnected from God's family, his church. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17 through 19. In the following directives, I have no praise for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. In this scripture, the Apostle Paul was teaching and correcting the Corinthian church on a serious issue. And that issue was that they were participating in the Lord's Supper, yet there were serious divisions among them. In verse 17 and 18, we see the results of those differences and independence leading to divisions in God's church. Their meetings were doing more harm than good. In verse 19, however, the Apostle Paul makes a point that all differences are not necessarily bad. In fact, God will often use our differences to illustrate the direction that he wants us to pursue. Again, the scripture says that God can use our differences to show which of us have God's approval. You know, without Jesus as Lord and in his rightful place in our lives, our differences and our independence often end up producing disunity and division. However, when Jesus is in his rightful place as Lord of our lives, our differences and our independence bring him glory. And God uses those differences to build his church. Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Repentance of the sin of independence is demonstrated when we use whatever gifts our freedom, whatever gifts God has given us, to restore and strengthen his people. When we use our freedom and whatever gifts God has given us to strengthen and restore his people. Our brother Cleveland Will spoke to us several weeks back and encouraged us to identify our gifts and to use those gifts to serve God and his people. Some of us haven't grown to the extent God wants us to because of the sin of independence. You aren't on the path of fully developing your talents and gifts because of the desire to do your own thing. As disciples, we can't let fear, pride, or our desire to do our own thing without God's guidance get in the way of letting God use us in any way he chooses. God wants us to use our freedom to love and serve his people. Point number two, the grace of connectedness. The grace of connectedness. You guys doing all right? You a little quiet out there? Amen. You know, we're not built to get through this life in isolation from God, nor from God's people. I need my brothers, I need my sisters, I need my mothers, and I need my fathers in God's church, and I believe that you need them also. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it tells us when we live the way that God calls us to live, in the light, as opposed to in a life of sin, we have fellowship with one another. God wants us to live lives that bring him glory, because he is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Absolutely no sin. One of the greatest blessings we have as disciples is the people that God places in our lives. We need encouragement from each other in order to live the way that God wants us to live. Also in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, when you talk about the word fellowship is from the Greek word koinonia, which essentially means joint sharing together. And we get to experience that fellowship and that joint sharing together when we walk in the light as God is in the light. When we consider grace, the undeserved favor that we get from God, we understand that having spiritual family members that love us, care for us, sometimes get on our nerves, that pray for us, pray with us, is unlike anything else that we can find outside of God's family. We have an incredible spiritual family here. We love each other and take care of each other. Our sisters are incredible in staying connected with each other and in many ways providing the spiritual glue that keeps the church connected relationally. And I'm personally blessed and grateful for my wife, Beverly. You know, she sees life through the lens of relational connectedness. She covers me in some huge blind spots that I have. You know, before today, probably less than 5 people ever saw me cry. That's changed. Thank you, honey, for what you bring to me, to our family, and to God's church. To all of our sisters, we appreciate what you do to help us stay connected relationally. Publicly, like preparing the communion bread and juice, the hospitality committee, setting us up for encouraging meals in our small groups, putting flowers and plants in front of the podium, and many, many other things. And also what you do privately to encourage great connectivity among God's family. We thank you for all that you do and all the ways that you serve. Amen. I just want to... About 6 months ago, God put on my heart to do something about a need in God's church related to the men. God brought me to a conviction that I needed to step out on faith and help as many men as I could to learn to put into practice being a godly man. Being a godly man is hard work, and it is impossible to do independently of one another. So I found a resource called Kingdom Man, and I asked a few men to go through a class as a pilot. And we met on 8:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. There were 6 of us that took the class together, and every man was encouraged and took our walk with God higher through our study of God's word and being together. The men in the pilot group and Scott and others encouraged me to offer the class again. So I started another 6-week session in the past spring, and we met on Sunday mornings again at 8:30. This time, 27 different men attended at least one of the sessions of the Kingdom Man class. Amen. We studied together to be better aligned with God's will for our lives, to be better husbands and fathers, and to be better leaders wherever we have the opportunity to influence and impact those around us. You know, one of the best things about the Kingdom Man class was that as men, we were in it together. We learned from one another and sought to encourage each other. Through our study together, our connectedness and fellowship grew. Men in their 20s and 30s learn from men in their 40s and 50s, and vice versa. Our brother A. Barker put together a survey so we could get insight into what men in the class had learned. One question on the survey was, in what ways did you grow the most through the series? Here are a few of the responses. Making connections with other men and getting motivation to grow as a man. Another man said, strength in leading my family and support for my spiritual growth and spiritual growth of others inside and outside the kingdom. Another man said, being inspired to make an impact, having a can-do attitude, learning to say, why not, rather than yes, but. I'm inspired by all the men who grew through the Kingdom Man series and that made personal commitments to grow together. I've been personally encouraged by many who have demonstrated the grace of connectivity to me personally in my life. We could be here all day if I were to publicly acknowledge all of you. So this morning, I just want to acknowledge two. Greg Darasaw is one of them. Over the past year, Greg's spiritual growth has been inspirational. Greg went from running from God's call when asked to take a leadership role to leading the charge. He's now leading a devotional group for men in Laurel that is inspiring many. His spiritual walk inspires me. At least twice a week, I wake up and see that Greg has already left a text for me on my phone at 5:30 in the morning, sharing with me what he's learned in his quiet time that day and asking me, how was my quiet time as I'm rolling out of bed? Thank you, Greg, for your leadership and friendship. Amen. Our brother Joshua Jones has also personally encouraged me. Joshua has a passion for wanting to see God's family relationally connected. I appreciate Joshua reaching out to me and his efforts to build a great friendship with me. When I speak with Joshua, he never neglects to ask how I am doing. And he really listens. And then he initiates praying for me. That's amazing to me. Thank you, Joshua, for your friendship. My point is that this is just a sampling of the type of relationships that God wants us to have in his church. In John 13, verses 34 through 35, God says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If we are disciples of Jesus Christ, this is not a new command for us. However, I believe that many of us need to renew our commitment to living this out and loving one another. Point number three, resurgence through the Holy Spirit. Now, the definition of resurgence is to come back strong after a period of little activity. Spiritual resurgence is God's power and God's Holy Spirit coming back and having its intended impact in our lives. Let me say that again. Spiritual resurgence is God's power and God's Holy Spirit coming back and having its intended impact in our lives. We experience resurgence when we restore God's standard of purpose and his standard of righteousness in our lives. God's purpose is that we live lives that glorify him, and that we seek to help as many as possible to live lives that glorify him also. God's standard of righteousness is Jesus Christ. When we follow God's standard of righteousness, we seek out first to apply God's word and God's ways in our lives rather than the standards of the culture in which we live. When we do this, we come back strong. We will experience a godly resurgence in our lives and in our families. Let's look at Psalm 128. Psalm 128, verse 1 through 4. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. This scripture says that when we truly align ourselves with God, God honors that alignment with blessings and prosperity that will reach us and extend to our families. And that's a choice that God gives us to make. And I hope we do make that choice. Now I want to speak to those here today who have not yet made the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. I want to encourage you to be open to studying God's word with one of our family members here in God's church. And if someone reaches out to you asking if you are willing to study God's word to find out more, consider this. The person who asks you is not perfect. However, Jesus and our Heavenly Father are perfect. So you have an imperfect person seeking to help another imperfect person connect to our perfect God. And if you say yes, and I mean a committed yes, you'll begin to experience a resurgence in your life like you've never seen before. To God be the glory. Amen. Now we'd like to take a moment to reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2, verse 1, the scripture says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. As we prepare to take the communion bread, which represents the body that Jesus sacrificed for us, and drink the cup that represents the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross, let's remember that sacrifice. And remember what Jesus endured so we might be in relationship to God as Jesus Christ is in relationship to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you have done to be able to restore us from a life of independence to a life of dependence on you through your son, Jesus Christ. We pray, God, as we reflect and as we take the communion bread, that you move in our hearts to help us to consider how we can walk closer with you. And as we take the cup, that we remember the blood that Jesus shed for us, all to give us an opportunity to have a relationship with you that he has with you. We thank you so much, and we pray in Jesus' name.